Okay, like before you take your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Psalm, please, the book of Psalms. And we're going to go right in the middle, chapter number 73 tonight, chapter number 73. And I believe I'll just read this psalm in its entirety tonight, Psalm chapter number 73. Beginning in verse number 1, says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful, wondrous psalm. I pray, Father, you might teach us from it tonight. Help us understand great truth that you have for us here. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Two times in my life as a preacher, I have preached out of this psalm. Last year, about September, was the second. Many years previous to that, as I came to verse 17, my heart was so stretched. And God gave me something that was so wondrous that it has never left me. And every time I pick this scripture and read it, that verse sticks out at me. The Psalm of Asaph, I believe, has a great message for us in the realm of perception. How we perceive things. For we perceive, or for how we perceive things, really determines our attitudes and our actions. In the book of Proverbs, we find in chapter 23, verse 7, the first portion of that says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And as our thoughts within us determine who we are, the perception that comes with those thoughts really make our attitudes, make our actions. Though this man Asaph, whom we believe penned this, knows the goodness of God as described in verse number 1, We also learn that he's in really a bad frame of mind. Notice again what he says. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such of a clean heart. But notice what he says. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I was envious of the foolish. He's in a bad frame of mind. He looked on those round about him, especially those in the world, with tremendous disgust. All you need to do is go back through, reread those verses, and you find that he was very disgusted, very upset with those who in the world seemed to be prospering. And though he was trying to serve God, it didn't seem like he was getting anywhere, and he was really quite jealous and upset with them. But we come to verse 17, and something happened. And what happened is, it says, until I went unto the sanctuary of God, until I came into, can I use this word, the presence of God. That word sanctuary is referring to really the abode of God. On a couple other occasions, the word used there is translated as a holy place. And it is where God is at. It's always a place of holiness. And so what he's talking about here is that we might come to the very presence of God. God said to the Jew in Exodus 25, verse 8, he said, I want you to build a sanctuary that I might dwell amongst my people. He wanted to be in their presence. He wanted them in His presence. And so we find here that as the psalmist pens this, he gives to us something that's very, very wondrous. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Dwelling in the presence of God will change your heart toward others. Isn't that something? Our attitudes and our actions towards others are wondrously changed when we are living in the presence of Almighty God. He was disturbed. He was jealous of their blessings. But after verse 17, you find he's concerned for their souls. And we find that he's repentative of his own thoughts and actions. Verse 21, he says, my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. He says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Something changed as he came into the presence of God. And I believe that his conclusion to the whole thing is a wonderful spectacle. As you come to verse number, turn my page too far. Verse number 28. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let me just rehearse a couple of things here tonight. Number one, perception will change our attitude. How we perceive people, particularly our brethren, affects our attitude toward them. How we perceive them. We might ask ourselves some questions tonight, and I don't have a whole lot of questions, but perhaps you could add to my list. Those folks that are around about this, are they a problem in the service of God, or are they a potential for service? Young people, please listen tonight. Please gain something tonight, because that which you perceive, how you look at things, will determine your attitude. When you look at mom and dad as those people who are holding you back and holding you down, you're going to walk with anger and frustration in your life. But when you look at mom and dad and understand, hey, they are there protecting me, they are my champions against the foes, all of a sudden we have a different attitude toward them. It's an amazing thing that oftentimes we just have the wrong perception. And we see others as problems rather than potential. By the same token, often as adults, we look at young people and we say, boy, they're just a bunch of bratty little young people. They don't know how to do anything right. But oh my goodness, the potential that lies in the souls of those in their teenage years. What tremendous opportunities lie at their feet. Sometimes we as older people, we look and we say, yeah, you guys, you're all caught up in all this stuff. You have no idea what it was like before computers. You don't know what it was like before Twitter. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But that in the hands of young people can now become a tool for the glorious giving of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see all these things in Facebook. I don't look at Facebook too much. I don't want to look at my face. And I have invitations sometimes from folks say, would you be my friend? And I generally confirm it if I know who they are. And so I send them a little confirmation. Sometimes somebody sends me a thing and said, would you be a friend with so-and-so? And I think, hey, listen, if they want that, fine. Now, you know. And I don't look at those things a whole lot. But there are folks who are using that for the glory of God. I understand there's a lot of other junk that goes on. And by the way, young folks, I do not understand why you write some of the things you write, because it's there forever. But oh, how it can be used for God's glory. And the wondrous things that can be done and the potentials there, how we look at it is very important. We might look at people and ask ourselves the question, are they a problem to our success? Are they a potential for our service? Sometimes we look at others and we say, boy, listen, pastors can do that very much. They can look at their folks and say, boy, they're just holding me down. If those folks would just respond, I could be a very successful pastor. By the way, my success is not dependent upon you. Neither is yours dependent upon me or anybody else. Our success lies in our relationship to Jesus Christ. There's where it's at. Very important for us to understand that. Our perception will change our attitudes toward others. We are often seeking others to blame rather than seeking others to build. Because we have poor perceptions and all we see is the negative, all we see is the wrong in their life, all we can see is, boy, they are so disgusting! But oh my goodness, this guy, when he finally got in the sanctuary of the Lord, he saw some needy people. And his heart went out to them and his heart attitude changed. Very important, our perceptions, because they build our attitudes. But I think also our perception changes our actions. How we perceive things come into our actions. Let me read you this, found back in 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse number 9. And here it's talking about a Shunammite woman who had looked at Elisha. Notice what it says. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by me or by us continually. She says, I have the perception that this man Elisha is a holy man of God. Because of that perception, she convinced her husband to build a prophet's chamber to house him and to take care of him as he passed by them. Her perception became action. As I was reading this morning, I came across this in Galatians. It says, when James, chapter 2 and verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. And so we find here that Peter, James, and John, they perceived some things about Paul and Barnabas. They perceived God's hand upon them, and they gave their credibility unto them and recommended them to other brethren. And thus, their perception came into action. Perception caused these to walk in faith. Consider tonight, faith is seeing potential that lie ahead. Faith is seeing potential, not problems. Faith is realizing, hey, there can be wondrous things accomplished. If I, as your pastor, if all I see are problematic people, and by the way, people are problems, you know, quite seriously, we all have our problems, we all make our problems. But if that's all I see, I'm going to tell you something. First of all, I'm going to be very discouraged. If all I look at and I see, you are a bunch of problem people, it's going to take me down, and it ought to. And I cannot do that. If I'm convinced that that's all it is and you're problematic and all I do is preach against your sin and preach against all of these things, listen, there's going to be some conviction in your life as a result of that, but there's not going to be any conquering because all that you hear is you are wicked, 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 wicked. You need to get, you know, God to forgive you of all that wickedness. But I must see potential. I must see that, hey, listen, there are things that can be accomplished in your life. I'll be frank with you tonight, and I must confess my sin. I think I've mentioned this on a number of occasions, but for probably several years, I looked and I thought, my goodness, I was just so jealous of other churches and other pastors. I would see this person, that person, their church, and I'd hear about this, I'd hear about that, and I thought, my goodness, if I just had some people like that in our church. And all I was seeing was the negative side of it. And one day God picked up one of His wonderful bricks. You ever had a brick by God thrown right back between your eyeballs? I mean, God just hit me over the head. I'm talking spiritually, all right? And God just broke this thing in my head and my heart. And God said, you do. You've just been looking on the wrong side. And God began to show me the wonderful potential that lies in Open Door Baptist Church. God began to show me the abilities that people have and the things that are down inside of them desiring to go forward for God. Gave me a whole new attitude on it because I began to perceive it in the right way. And my actions, I hope, began to change as a result of that. And thus, when you come to the pulpit, yes, you preach against sin, but also you preach, hey, here is how to do it, and here's how to get the victory. And here's how to live in the Spirit of God. Because it's the great need of our lives. And I believe tonight that every one of us can live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe that? Hello? Do you believe that? By the way, the reason it doesn't happen is because we don't believe it. But it can be true in our lives. And there's great, wonderful potential there. Listen to the statement. Every strength has in it an equal weakness. Whatever your strengths are, you have in that same strength weakness. If you're very good at something, in that same thing can be your downfall. Okay? But I want you to think about this. In every weakness, there's an equal strength. The point of my perception determines my actions. Do I look at my strengths and worry about my weaknesses, or do I look at my weaknesses and say, praise God, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, like Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Do we say that? Do we cry out with Him, for when I am weak, then am I strong?
we have potential. Our perception changes our actions. Even salvation is more than seeking God's forgiveness. And we want folks to get forgiven from God. But listen, it is more than that. Salvation is not just being forgiven. Salvation is being saved from your sin. Salvation is having that which was unholy becoming holy. It is seeing Him making me holy. Oh yes, it's forgiving me all of my past. But it's also saving me to a glorious present that I might walk in Him. How's this come about? Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Brethren, there's something that is necessary for you and for me if we're going to have the right perception. If we are going to notice the potential rather than problem. If we can look at our brethren and be excited for their future. If we can have that kind of a positive outlook. That which is by faith. Oh, we look and we have the sight and we can say, boy, yeah, there are problems. But oh, listen, can we by faith look and see the tremendous potential, the possibilities that are out there? When's it going to happen? We get in the sanctuary of God. Oh, how it changes my attitude. And how it changes my actions. You know what these young people need? They need somebody to squat on them really hard when they do something wrong. We know that. But I tell you what they need even more than that. Somebody to look them right square in the eye and say, I believe in you and I believe you can accomplish it. I can believe this young lady, Crystal, can accomplish anything God calls her to accomplish. Yeah, it's there. It is available. Got one almost asleep on me. But Cassandra, I believe that for you too. And I believe He could keep you awake the rest of the service. I woke her up. Jake, I believe that for you. But if all I look at is this young boy that's, you know, he just wants to have fun. He don't care about this or don't care about that. And, you know, his biggest goal in life is just to cause trouble to some little girl. Or find a rubber snake and put it on your aunt's neck. Saw that happen this week. It was funny. But he has tremendous potential. William, do you know what you can accomplish? But if I don't believe in you, am I helping him? No. If all I do is harangue him, am I helping him? No. I know a preacher tonight. I'm going to tell you, he preaches the truth. He preaches it straight and hard. And I mean, he is against sin. I mean, he is against sin. He preaches against it. He writes against it. I mean, every way he can. I've never heard him one time preach with belief in his heart that God could use the people that sat before him. There's a difference. Some of you have heard me say this. It was my good friend. And through the years that we went to camp, I got to know Brother O'Brien quite well. A man that was about 12, 13 years younger than myself. Oh, how he taught me some wonderful things. And the thing that gripped my soul to his success with young people was he preached hard against sin, but also at the same time, there was in the heart of every young person that heard him the belief that that man believed God could do something in their life. And faith begets faith. And it changed many hearts. And I miss him sorely at camp. But thank God there's others. Amen. Oh, how we need to understand that. Till I went to the sanctuary, didn't see that. Yeah, I just looked at the world and I saw all the bad things, saw all the wicked stuff. And by the way, as God's people, we can see that. We can point that out. We're good at that, are we not? Oh, we get along with God. God can change our attitude. Well, now we see a world that needs Christ desperately. Now we see brethren whom God wants to use. And we see that it can be accomplished. Faith can be generated. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, help us to determine to meet in that sanctuary. To come into your very presence. Lord, you did not die for us that we might sit on our laurels. You did not die for us that we just be saved. You died we might be saved from our sin unto holiness, unto good works. You ordained us to that kind of life. And so, Lord, tonight, help us to understand the importance of the sanctuary. That time where we're with you. Oh, God, help us see that. Lord, help us to study our thoughts of others. And Lord, when we're so negative and when we are, that we might realize, oh, we need to be with you. Lord, I'm so prone to it. And I ask your forgiveness over and over. I'm so thankful that you forgive me and you set my feet on the solid rock and you point me in the other direction and give me a new heart, a new attitude, new actions. Lord, I pray that for your folks. Work in hearts tonight. Lord, where the need might be, as we have invitation, just speak to hearts. There's a need to walk down this aisle and to bend the knee and to bow the head and to pray and seek your face. Lord, I pray to be so. May your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Christine, if you'd play, I'd appreciate it.